You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It's Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you want to listen to this show, you can ask Siri, Alexa, or Google to play Locked On Jets, and you'll be able to listen to us right away. Well, the Jets officially have their new coach. Adam Gase had his introductory press conference yesterday. And these press conferences are not really substantive affairs. You don't really find much out. And they're very easy to pull off. I mean, all you have to do is not say anything dumb and you come off looking like a winner. And I think the Jets accomplished that yesterday. There was not really much that came out from it, aside from a few internet jokes about some of Gase's internet expressions. But if we're talking football, not a ton either positive or negative, just Gase kind of giving you some very boilerplate material along with Chris Johnson, the CEO, pretty much doing the same. And usually on this show, I don't like to play press conferences, but I think this one's pretty important. This is a new coach coming in, so I wanted to play you guys audio from the press conference so you could hear for yourselves what Chris Johnson and Adam Gase had to say. Mike Maccagnan did not speak at the press conference, even though he was there. And I'll chime in whenever I have something that I think is any genius thoughts I have to chime in. I may stop the press conference, the tape of the press conference, to offer you my perspective on something somebody said. So we'll start off. Chris Johnson began by giving an opening statement.
I'd like to begin by thanking everyone in our organization that's helped us throughout this process. I also want to recognize the highly qualified candidates who interviewed with us. Each did a great job, and we are thankful the time they took to meet with us. At the end of our interview process, Adam really stood out as the best fit for the New York Jets. His thorough understanding of our roster, his familiarity with our division, and his roadmap to success all impressed me. My expectations for this team under Adam are very high. In short, I chose him to win for our players, to win for this organization, and most importantly, to win for our fans. Adam understands that, and he's up to the challenge. I'm eager for all of you to get a chance to see what we see in him. We are excited to welcome Adam, Jennifer, and their children, Mackenzie, AJ, and Wyatt, to our Jets family. It is a great honor for me to introduce head coach of the New York Jets, Adam Gase.
I just want to start off thanking Christopher Johnson, Mike Maccagnan, the rest of the Jets organization. I know it was a long process for you guys, a lot of candidates. I know it was a lot of tireless nights. I know we had a couple late night FaceTime sessions there at the end, which is always fun when you kind of think it might be the call and it's not. So that was a good start. It was a long 9 days, long 10 days. I know my family was eager for me to get out of the house for sure. I'd like to thank my wife, Jennifer, my three kids. I know that it's been a tough road for them the last couple days, just trying to figure out where we were gonna be. And I appreciate them sticking with me. I'm excited to get going. I know it's a ways away before we get players in here, but you can feel the energy in the building. Today's been a great day. And really, at the end of the day, we're here for one reason. Our process started a couple days ago, and we'll see what it brings to us.
Thank you, Coach. At this time, I'd like to open it up for questions from the media. We have microphones that will be passed out. Once called, please state your name and your outlet. After the Q&A, we will have photo opportunities and breakout availabilities as well. Chris?
Brian Costello from the New York Post and WFAN. Adam, just curious, what lessons do you feel like you learned from your time in Miami that you will apply now in your second crack at being a head coach?
all over 3 years, you're going to have mistakes that you make, and really, it could be either a mental note or really, you start creating that list of from year to year, and it's really starting this first part of the process. We going trying to put a coaching staff together. You know, it's the first thing I learned first go around is don't get impatient. Don't think you have to rush to get into that. We got to get this guy hired. We got to get this hired. Just go through your process. Make sure if we got to interview guys, we interview guys. I think that's just the start of many of the things that I've learned in that first go around. It's a long list because football, there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. And every time we encounter something, we're going to learn from it, and then we're going to move on, and we're going to correct it.
I saw that answer get a little bit of grief on social media, but I actually thought it was a pretty intelligent answer. It's obvious that Gaze has a lot that he's thought about from his time in Miami, but when you talk about hiring retread candidates, these guys know how to be head coaches because they've gone through the process before, and your first job is to hire a coaching staff. And I thought that was actually a pretty good answer. I thought that was actually kind of an insightful answer because these are just things you don't think about and I don't think about. And even when you're an assistant coach, you don't think about them. I remember a few years ago, I listened to a hockey coach get interviewed, and he was a first-time head coach. And they asked him what the biggest change was. And he said, you know, when you're an assistant coach, you don't realize that the head guy has to coach the coaches. He has to supervise, assign the coaches' responsibilities. It's just one of those things you don't realize until you become a head coach, and then you internalize it. So having gone through the process before, I think that's actually a pretty good answer, where there's a tendency to try and rush these hires, assistant hires, rather than, you know, spend a little bit time, even if it takes a little longer, make sure you get the right guy in there. Don't panic that, you know, if I don't hire this guy, somebody else is. Let the process play itself out. And I know there's a lot of consternation among this fan base. Greg Williams has not been hired yet, but it takes time. You know, Greg Williams might not be the right guy. Greg Williams is the biggest name. Maybe he's not the right guy. And maybe he is the right guy, and the Jets will end up hiring him. I think there's more that goes into it than just rushing to hire the biggest name. You have to find the guy who's the best fit. So I actually thought that was a pretty good answer, even though I've seen a little bit of consternation on social media over the answer he gave.
What specifically about Adams, you mentioned the roadmap to success, what specifically aligned with what you guys want to do and what you guys envision?
Well, you know, honestly, we clearly talked with a lot of potential coaches for us,
and they were excellent. Really, truly, I don't think there's one among them who won't be make a great head coach. But it was that the fact that Adam's vision synced well with what Mike and I had talked about quite extensively before we even started the process. You know, he is intelligent, forward-thinking, aggressive. He's to paraphrase Wayne Gretzky, he's coaching to where football is going, and that really appealed to me.
I'll just say I wish we had gotten more of a follow-up to that answer, because I don't think we really got into many of the specifics for what set Gaze apart from the other candidates from the Jets' perspective.
Mark?
Adam, I'm Mark Canizaro from the New York Post. Congratulations. Obviously, a large reason you were brought here was the quarterback here, Sam. I'm just kind of wondering if you can tell us what you've seen in him in the short period of time that you've had to scout him and whatnot, and what your conversations with him have been like.
The majority of the things that I've already looked at have been his pro tape. Obviously, us preparing for him for two games was kind of really a jump start for me. He was one of the guys that we actually thought was going to be gone way before we ever picked. We focused on a couple other guys that we thought possibly could fall to us at 11. And I've been able to, especially in the last few days, really hammer out as much tape as I could on him and start looking at the things that I've seen him do really well, some of the things that we could possibly work on. And really, it's gonna start with him. I mean, that's an obvious statement. And I'm excited because this is really the first time I've been able to get with a guy this young, this early in his career. You know, we're going into year two. And I mean, he's hungry for knowledge. He wants to be coached. which when you have that a type of player that does have the physical traits, this is an exciting thing for me to go through.
Manish.
Manish Mehta, New York Daily News. Christopher, along those lines, what gave you confidence to know or believe that Adam is the right person to develop Sam Darnold?
He's worked with some great quarterbacks in different stages of their careers, both the tail end and the middle, not so much at the beginning, but we talked about this a lot when we got together, I ended up thinking that he was really the man for the job.
Daryl.
Daryl Slater, New York Star Ledger, NJ.com. Adam, when you look at this Jets team, one of the issues has been its inability to finish games. What are you going to do to fix that? And when you look at this team from afar, what was the issue there, and how do you plan on getting this team across the finish line in a lot of those close games that they were not able to finish?
You know, one of the things that I lean on, and I'm just going off my past experience over the last 3 years, that was something we took a lot of pride in, and, you know, being 20-6 over the last, you know, in one-score games in 3 years, that was something that group took a lot of pride in. And it started in practice. It started in our preparation and really developing the mindset of when we get to that fourth quarter and we're in a tight game, we're going to come out on top. And really, it comes down to that. It's just that mental focus and putting the work and making sure that everybody's on the same page. You're all striving to get the same thing done. And whether you need that stop or you need that touchdown in a two-minute drive, you're able to accomplish it, but it all starts with the preparation.
Rich?
For Adam, Rich Cimini, ESPN.com. Adam, in Miami, you had control over the 53-man roster, which you won't have here. Why would you agree to the setup the way it is here? And secondly, how do you think it could impact your coaching?
Yeah, I was good. I don't even think I asked. I didn't. That was not something I was really interested in. You know, that's just kind of how it worked out in Miami. That was something that was really almost offered up of, we think this is the way we should go. And in Miami and here, I didn't even ask. I just knew coming in here, it was going to be a team effort to make sure that I do my part, which is coach the team, do everything I can to help bring in good players. And when my opinion was asked, give my opinion. And That's what you're looking for. You're looking for that kind of collaboration.
Connor?
Yeah, Adam, Connor Hughes with The Athletic New York. What is, now that you are this team's head coach, what is your top priority? Like, what's the first thing you want to accomplish?
Putting a coaching staff together. You know, that's where we have to start. You know, we can't skip steps and start evaluating the roster before we even have coaches here. And that's really going to be our number one priority, is getting coordinators and then working our way down after that. And once we get that accomplished, then we'll be able to do our evaluations, and then we move into free agency. So we got a long ways to go. The coaching staff's the number one priority, though, right now.
Go ahead.
Adam, Tina Servastier from Fox 5 News. We've heard Chris say how you were the man for the job. They knew right away. But as you started interviewing, what made the Jets the right landing place for you for this head coaching job?
Well, the number one thing for me was a young quarterback. You know, and I also think the knowledge of playing these guys over the last 3 years, and that was interesting for me to stay in division when you know your opponents right out the gate, and you've been on one of the other teams that you're not going to end up playing. To me, that was very intriguing, and like I said, I've worked with older quarterbacks, guys in the middle of their career, and I've never really had the opportunity to work with somebody that's fresh out of the draft, basically, and does have a year experience. And I was excited to get that kind of opportunity. And really knowing the division, that helps, and knowing this defense, just because we've had to prepare for that, I'm probably going to have to take more time learning the offense more than anything.
Bruce.
Adam, Bruce Beck, WNBC TV. Why do you feel you can succeed where others have failed here with the Jets?
Yeah, really, at the end of the day, it's going to be about our staff's work ethic, the process that we're going to create, the collaboration we'll have with the front office. You know, That gives you the best opportunity to have success. And really on Sundays, it's all about wins and losses. And it's going to be the preparation leading up to that. That's going to be key for us.
Kim.
Christopher. Hi. Kim Jones from NFL Network. Hi, right in front of you. Up top.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Christopher, you've said that you're not big on playoff mandates, but now with a new head coach in place, in light of the fact that 2 weeks ago you told us that your fans deserve better, will you emphasize the idea that the Jets need to get back to postseason soon?
Yeah, the fans do deserve better, no question about it. I do have high expectations, but there will be no playoff mandate. Absolutely not. I'll never do that.
I think that question had the right idea, but I wish it was phrased a little bit differently, because I don't think you're ever going to get an owner who's going to tell you, yes, playoffs are bust or everybody's fired. I mean, that's just something you cannot do to people who work for you. But I think the question should have been phrased in a way where it asks, you know, through the years, over these last 2 years, you've talked about the process. You've said it's not just about wins and losses. It's about building. Are we at the point where it's about wins and losses? And the reason that question needs to be asked is because, as the asker of the question said, you know, 2 weeks ago, Chris Johnson got up in front of everybody and said that this team has talent. And, you know, the Jets have the young quarterback who's going to be growing. They have the number 3 overall pick, and they have all the cap space. So, you know, if this team has talent and they have the tools to add that much more talent as a result, and the quarterback's going to get better, and the biggest problem was the head coach, and now you fix that, why should fans not expect wins and losses now? So I would be interested to hear where Johnson thinks they are in this process, because based on what he said 2 weeks ago, and based on the fact they've changed coaches and they've addressed what they think the number one problem is, there's no reason this team shouldn't be in the playoffs. So are playoffs the expectation for next year? You know, are we to the point where wins and losses do matter, where we can judge the team on wins and losses? You know, it's not just the process anymore. I think that's the question I would have liked to have had answered. I think, you know, no owner's going to say, I mean, any owner who says, you know, we have a playoff mandate, it's kind of dumb, but are playoffs the expectation? And I think the answer, he would have to answer that yes. I would be interested to hear what he has to say.
Adam, you were just talking about how you know this division and that kind of appealed to you. There's a team that's dominated this division for a long time in the Patriots, and you've been trying for the last 3 years to topple them. You know, how do you do it?
Well, it's going to start with putting a good coaching staff together. I mean, we have to go through our process, and right now it's not the time for us to focus exactly on, hey, how do we beat this one team? I mean, it's a 16-game schedule. We have to do a great job putting this thing together to where we give ourselves a chance to win the division. You win the division, that gives you an opportunity to get in that tournament, and then after that, it's just the team that wants it most. And you know, obviously they've had unbelievable success. You know, there's good reason why. You know, going against those guys the last 3 years, it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that if you're in coaching, you want that. If you're a player, you want that. And I think, you know, for us, it's about getting our crew ready to go, and the coaching staff, players, and preparing the right way, so when our opportunity comes and we play them or anybody else, we give ourselves the best chance to win.
Okay, this is going to be the final question.
Over here.
Adam, Andy Vasquez with The Record and NorthJersey.com. Why do you think that your offense wasn't as productive as obviously you wanted in Miami? And what do you think you can do to make it different here?
Yeah, I looked at that a lot myself. You know, when you look at rankings and start worrying about that, a big focus of ours was our turnover margin. We knew we had to play a certain way. You know, we lost some of our key pieces, and we knew it. We were going to have to find different ways to win. And really, we sacrificed statistics to try to get wins. And that's what we did, and we focused on making sure that we had great ball security and that we were getting turnovers on the other end. And we were able to do that and stay in games and then make plays at the end of the game. That put us in position with 3 games left. We were still alive in the playoff hunt. We just couldn't finish it out. And really, to me, that's why you look at the rankings. That's my best answer for that. I wish it was top 10, top 5. But I think we have a different set of players here and a different set that we'll grow to. And, you know, hopefully we can really be in that upper echelon of offenses.
for me, the comment on the turnover margin being important may have been the most telling comment he made through this entire press conference, because, as we know, sounds like the Jets are targeting Greg Williams to be their defensive coordinator. So maybe that provides a window into Gase's thinking for the team he wants to build. Does he want an aggressive team that forces mistakes, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which would, you know, help provide us a window into his thinking of why he may want Greg Williams, who's known as a very aggressive defensive coach, who, you know, defense, he loves to gamble in his defensive play calls and try and force the opponents into making the big mistake, turning the ball over, making the game-changing play. So I actually think that's something interesting that I gleaned from this press conference, but otherwise pretty quiet, which is kind of par for the course, I think, for these introductory press conferences. In general, you don't really learn all that much. They're kind of just infomercials for the team, and if you don't stumble, then you probably won the day. It's the easiest job Gase will ever have to do as head coach of the Jets, and probably the least important job. You know, the work begins now, and all that really matters. Nobody ever remembers a coach for what he did in the press conference, except for maybe Rex Ryan. But you know, you don't really care if the coach wins the press conference. You care whether he wins games. So from this point on, all that matters is what happens on the field with the Jets. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk some more Jets.